On today's podcast, we switch things up and bring on our third ever guest in segment two and go over his life after college and high school. Segment one, Tyler and I catch up and talk NFL, playoff races, and more. Segment three is the same as always. All that and more on another episode of the Life After College podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 21 of the Life After College podcast. I'm your host, Austin Zershmi, joined again by my co-host, Tyler Brockman, and we got a crazy episode for you guys today. We have our third ever interview in segment two with an old high school buddy of mine named Garrett Wilson. We'll get into that part later, but first things first, Tyler has a crazy recap of a day for you guys. Tyler, take it away.
Well, I feel like it just started. It's been a long day so far. Everyone hates it when their low tire pressure, you know, gauge goes off. Figured, oh, the weather's dropped. No big deal. I'll just pump up the tires. Well, to tell you about the story, I got to bring you back. Last time I went, got my oil changed at Oxmoor Ford. Do not recommend. They put my plastic, like, hubcap things, two of them, they put them on misaligned so that you couldn't, like, access the little nozzle to pump them up. I don't know. I'm not a car guy, so I don't know the words. Yeah. So I was like, whatever. Last time I had low tire pressure, I guess it happened to be one of the two that I could access. So I was like, no big deal. But this time I pumped up the two that I had access to. Still had the low tire pressure, so I was like, oh man, tried just like ripping off the hubcaps, but they were like, they're like held on like with the lug nuts, you know. So I had to you know, for those of you who haven't had to change tire in a while, same process. You got to loosen them up, you got to jack the car up, you got to take them off. You gotta, didn't even have to like move the wheel around or anything, just the plastic hubcap part so I could access it. Then I had to, you know, get the lug nuts back on, lower it back down, tighten them back up, pump up the tire. And then I had to do it for the other tire as well. So it's just, you know, much easier when you're at a car shop and they have it up in the air. And they aren't having to like bend over on their hands and knees in the middle of the parking lot with a, you know, crowbar. They've got their special power tools and they can just 5 seconds get it right, but they couldn't. So came an issue. And then I did see I've got a nail in one of my tires.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, a very small one. So I think I'm gonna risk it for tomorrow. Still go to school and come back and, you know, we'll see. I've got a portable air pump that you just, plug into your, like car's cigarette lighter and, you know, it's got a pump, it's got like light, like hazard light flashers in case you needed that. Mm-hmm. And then you can just set it to whatever PSI you want, screw it on, hit the on button and it pumps it up. So that's real nice. Comes in handy a lot, actually. To a gas station with a pocket full of quarters trying to get air in my tires. But yeah, you know, and that stuff, it just, it never goes as quickly as you want it to. And things are never aligned right. You always need a third hand. Stuff like that. So that's the starts of my week so far.
Yeah, sounds like you had a Monday.
It was a big Monday. It was a big Monday for sure. But, yeah, let me I'll get into my week. I had a really good week, though, you know, school-wise last week. Big moves. Delivered a denture for one of my patients.
Wow. UPS, that's real, man.
I know. It's real special because, you know, it's a lot of times a patient who has been missing a lot of teeth for a lot of their life hasn't seen himself smile in a long time. We were able to deliver that, and you know, he's asking like, "Oh, do I really get to like go home with these today?" That sort of thing, because it is a lot of appointments, and things do go slow at the school, so it's a long process. But then to finally see the payoff is pretty rewarding. And then I had another denture and a partial denture for another lady, and same thing. I've been working with her for months, and to get to the end result, it's just real rewarding. So
that's good, what it's all about, times. Isn't it?
Well, you know, that's the stuff that you say in the interviews, you know, why you want to be a dentist. Oh, to help people. I mean, that's what everyone says. But then when you really get to see it, like pay off, you know, it's really.
The paycheck's cool too, ain't it?
Paycheck would be cool, but, you know, that'll come.
So, yes, I mean, with that nail, I mean, if you need a car, do you have Emily's that you could drive?
I could drive Emily's. I mean, she works from home, so.
Yeah.
Worst comes to worst, drop mine off somewhere, you know. They should just be able to patch it in half hour or something.
Yeah. Because
it's a real small situation. It's not on, like, the wall of the tire.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a real man, you could do it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I trust myself to do some things, but I don't want to make it worse and then have to end up buying a new tire.
Yeah. Didn't you just buy new tires?
No, I don't think so.
It's been a while. But man, yeah, it stinks. I don't know how much it is to patch a tire, but I think you can go to like AutoZone or Walmart and get the kit and then watch a YouTube video on it and should be good to go.
Yeah, I want to say since I bought like these tires from Tire Discounter, they'll like patch them for free. Hmm. So I might need to give that a check.
Yeah. Are you going to drive?
Save a couple bucks, you know?
With your car up there, or are you going to bring the tire in like Emily's car?
No, I think I'm going to see how it is tomorrow because I pumped up all the tires. We'll see if the, you know, if I've got a real slow leak, if, you know, the sensor doesn't go off tomorrow morning, I'll be okay driving it tomorrow. And then, you know, if I need to, I can give it a quick little pump up with that, home. So
do you think it was maybe the enemy of your flag football games were trying to get some revenge on you?
It might be, because you know what, I'll get into it. We had another victory, so we're just catches out there. Trying to remember anything about that game.
You were just locked in, you blocked out after the coin toss.
I do remember we were pretty short on the subs. So, you know, I like to go all out on the defense. So I think on offense, I was pretty much just resting. Like, that'd be all right.
Dang. Well, you got to let me know if you need an extra Keenan Allen to come through. I'm sure handed. I'm not very fast anymore, but I'll make some catches on third down.
It's not a bad idea. You know, I think our quarterback is out next game, so Sheesh. Maybe we need a Phillip Rivers in the house. I don't know.
You need to drive the whole length of the field with 38 seconds left. I'm your guy.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, congrats on the win. I know you won in flag football, but I don't think the Jets could get you a win on Sunday. Did you watch any of it? Are you happy with your team so far? Joe Flacco's still throwing 60 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's not what you want to see, but he knows that he's only got, you know, these three or four games to start the season. I feel like he was just going all out, like calling his own number, like, hey, you know, we could hand this off and do whatever, but, you know, let's see what this pass play has for us.
Yeah, and I kind of get into it in the interview portion, but I'm very sad on my Chargers. Last week I put them in the good Super Bowl tier. Now, after this past week, I put them most likely, if everything keeps going the way it does, I don't think this team even makes the playoffs. It is very shocking to be so high week one, and then week two, you maybe drop down a little bit, maybe come back down to earth, and then week three is just putting you into the core of the earth. You're way inside of it. So all these injuries, all these, you know, whatever, I guess it really is just injuries, but poor play calling, poor execution. It's a mess. Who knows if they can turn it around. They got the Texans coming up and they play the Browns. It's very hard to play football when you have no running game whatsoever. And then you have the same offensive coordinator that designs plays that were made for Drew Brees and tries to run them with Justin Herbert. All these 6-7 yard slants, running back screens, or out routes that don't go 10 yards when you got somebody that can throw 70 yards off his back foot. All the you're not really stretching the defense down the field because you're throwing everything underneath, and then you can't really run the ball, so everyone is just playing in coverage underneath, and it's hard to get open, hard to create separation if you're a wide receiver, hard to move the ball and develop any kind of rhythm if you're the quarterback. Really got to take a look in the mirror and see if they can do something, especially with Bosa now probably out for a couple weeks with a groin. Rashawn Slater is out for the rest of the season with a torn bicep. Herbert's still dealing with his rib. Keenan Allen still got his hamstring. I mean, J.C. Jackson still got his ankle. The injuries are starting to pile up, and we're only 3 weeks in. So might be time to, you know, kind of reassess the predictions of possible potential Super Bowl. I think this is a maybe fringe playoff team similar to your Jets. So we might be fighting for the same spot.
We just want to see them in the – you know what I'm saying? Like week 15, when they're talking about all the matchups and how this game may affect, you know, the playoff seeding, I want to see the Jets in the hunt. And, you know, I don't know. I think you could still see the Chargers fighting for a wild card. You never know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really down after that game. It was an absolute stinker. We're good for one or two of those a year. Last year came with when we were fighting for a playoff spot, and we had the Houston Texans who were like 3-11. And we thought that would be an easy win to get a game on the Raiders, and then they blow us out. So good for one or two of those a year, and hopefully we got it out of the way. But with all these injuries, it makes me think that we may be like a 9-win team as opposed to a 12-win team. But, you know, time will tell. But other than my piss-poor Chargers game, I actually had probably the greatest individual week of fantasy across the board. Not really terribly high scoring, as opposed to like weeks one, weeks two. I think I probably scored more points, but finally went 4-0 across the board. So that's always nice. You know, drafting really starting to pay off. So now I've got a win in all four of the leagues now and undefeated through 3 weeks through two of them. So, you know, we'll see where we're at the end of the season. Same with the Chargers. Do you have any updates there?
Fantasy-wise, it's another week looking like I'm going to be winning in one league and losing in the other. Just unfortunate. I think because in my league that I keep losing, it's the Dynasty League. And so there's, it's an 8-team league. So the bench is big, and the there's like a lot of flex positions, and like there's just a lot more like players. Just keep picking the wrong players to put on the bench week after week. Now in the other league, it's your typical like 12-man PPR league, and I had a great week in that one. I think I had the highest score over any team, so I'm gonna be 3-0 in that league and 0-3 in the other. But you
it
know,
happens.
And it's not the way that I would have thought about it, you know, before the season. If you had to have me guess which team I would have be 3-0 and which one would be 0-3, I would have guessed it the other way. But just got to reassess and maybe reinvest some of my time into the team that's doing well. Keep it up, you know.
And kind of with bounce back forth on the football train, there's some news. I know there's some murmurs coming around that we were going to have a Swifty halftime party at the Super Bowl, but the reports came out that it's going to be Rihanna and not Taylor Swift. I know probably Emily was devastated. Are you happy with who we got as, you know, Rihanna over Taylor Swift? Were you wanting somebody else? I know previously we talked about our dream halftime performance.
That's true. I mean, you know, I just want it to be a good show no matter who it is.
You want to see a Janet Jackson type show, don't you, with Rihanna?
I mean, wouldn't be mad about it. But, no, I mean, I think it also all depends on, like, who you can bring on as the guests, you know. Because I think that's always exciting, you know, more exciting than just one person.
Mm-hmm.
Trying
to see Dua Lipa.
Try to do more with her than just do a feature, you know? But yeah, so we'll see. I mean, maybe it's because I'm out the music game a little bit, but I don't know the latest songs from hers, maybe. So
Rihanna?
I'll have to.
It's because there isn't any. She ain't made a song since like 2017.
Well, good. Maybe I'll be, maybe I'll still know the ones.
And I think I saw someone tweet something and it was like, dang, having a baby is expensive. They brought Rihanna out of retirement.
That's true.
But yeah, that's what it is. Was Emily pissed? I know she's a big Swiftie.
Well, she said that she didn't think Taylor would do it because she's still like trying to own all of her songs or something. So she couldn't perform all of the songs that she probably would have wanted to or something. I don't know. Sounded like mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, she could probably just write a song about football.
No. You got to be...
like you got to play the hits.
You got to be like a Carrie Underwood to be able to come up with a song about football like that.
They should do that. Like all the people that do like a soundtrack for the NFL, put them on there for... a show. Like who's that other country singer, the dude that does it? We don't fact check.
Tim McGraw.
I don't think it's him. I think it's one of the older guys.
I think Tim McGraw is pretty old. Fucking older than that.
Yeah, like one of the
Blake Shelton.
No, he's probably done it though. I'm thinking of like one of the fiddle guys, fiddler.
I don't know. You've gone past my knowledge.
Yeah, I know you don't. You probably know probably five artists all time, and one of them's Phil Collins. The other's Taylor Swift.
Phil's one of my four concerts I've been to.
And kind of switching gears from football halftime Super Bowl performances, that Texas playoff race was something. I saw Emily post on her story. She was excited about it. She's a big NASCAR supporter now, isn't she? I'm glad we got her on board.
We're big fans of Dale Jr. in this household and his commentating style. And anytime there's a caution, I mean,
oh, we got a car in the wall.
Oh, we got a car in the wall. Caution, caution. So, we like to really, really live that up. Those are our proud moments. So, watch some of that. Cap from it. Can you give it to us?
A lot of cautions. It was very, very messy. A lot of leaders were crashing just by themselves, tires exploding. So if you're a fan of chaos, that's probably a race that you want to see. But gosh, who ended up winning? Tyler Reddick ended up winning, again, his third win of the year with RCR, even though he's going to a different team next season.
You think he's going next season?
Yeah, I think so, because they're bringing in Kyle Busch to run the 8. They said that they're going to buy a charter, but charters are so expensive. I think what they're doing is they're just trying to drive up the price to release him for his contract. So 2311 pays them to release him, to put him in the car a year earlier.
It's all just a money game.
The money makes the world go round, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, overall, I mean, I think it wasn't the worst Texas race. I don't think that track has always kind of produced, since they reconfigured it a couple years ago, kind of piss poor racing. No one really likes watching it. I know that it was very hot if you went to the race. It was probably 98 degrees. Heat index probably higher than that. You know, it's still midsummer temperature wise and, you know, the Texas area. So still hot. I'm sure it was miserable to be there for as long as it was. There was a little rain delay. That race probably had everything that could happen in a NASCAR race in that race. And some people may like it, some people may not. But it was something for sure. It lasted quite a long time too with that delay. But glad they got it all in, and you know, we're looking forward to Talladega next Sunday. So that's always a real treat.
I feel like the Super has always come at the right time, you know?
Yeah, we're due for another Super Speedway. Those always produce pretty good racing no matter what. And then with that, this week, you know, on my end, get that show on Thursday, got that wedding on Friday, kind of talked about last week. You know, what are your plans on Thursday, T-Brock?
A possible birthday dinner, I think.
Whose birthday?
My cousin.
You can go to the one next year.
I mean, if there is one next year, we always got to be thankful for what we're given.
Mm-hmm. You've been reading a bunch of Psalms, haven't you?
Maybe.
For our next guest, I am bringing on one of my old high school teammates and discussing his journey post-high school and how he ended up where he's at today. He played both baseball and basketball at Bullies and always knew how to make someone laugh. We reconnected recently in the last few months, and I think now is a great time to welcome him to the show to give updates to others who may have lost connection with him after graduation. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Garrett Wilson.
All right, Garrett Wilson, welcome to the show. I want to say you are our third guest on the Life After College podcast. And for those who don't know, me and Garrett went to high school together. Reconnected recently, probably in the last year after college. And the whole point of having you on here was to kind of learn about your experience post high school, because I know, like myself and like probably others as well, people that you went to school with outside of college, may have lost, you know, a connection with you. You know, we had people that go to Kentucky, went to Richmond, to EKU, went to Western. A lot of people just kind of after high school kind of lose touch with, you know, who they were friends with in high school, especially with people that go to different colleges or not even go to college at all and go and work in the work field. So with that being said, first off, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. I know we've been talking about doing this for quite some time, but it's finally nice to get you joined in. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump straight into it. So post high school, you were recruited to play baseball. You were always one of the faster guys on the team, and I'm not just talking about in basketball or in baseball, if you know what I'm saying. But you ended up getting football. What was that whole process like? Who ended up recruiting you, and then why did you choose where you went to? What made that decision?
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm glad that we could reconnect and get to where we are here today. Starting out, getting into the whole, recruiting process, it's definitely something new and an experience that you really, you never know anything about, you never taught about or really think about it as you're growing up. I was lucky enough as my sophomore year, I had my first couple D1 offers, and I was committed to Western Kentucky, and some things fell through after their head coach got fired, and I ended up losing my scholarship, which then, opened my recruiting back up. I'm pretty sure I had a down year my junior year, which, didn't go as planned or as expected. So my recruiting kind of took a jump back, and then I found a D2 school in Evansville, Indiana. It was called Southern Indiana University, and I really ended up going there because I had a former high school teammate go there, and they had recently won the Division II national championship a couple years prior as well. So we had some pretty good relationship with them. And, out of high school, I thought it would have been a great opportunity, to if I stay there a year, maybe 2 years, I could maybe transfer and go somewhere else. But, it didn't go to plan that way. I actually didn't even stay there very long. I made it to Christmas of my freshman year, and, I got homesick and ended up transferring, a division lower and dropped to a division three school. And that's where I ended up playing most of my, or actually my entire collegiate career, was a division three school.
Is there anything that you miss about being at USI? I don't know much about the campus or what they had to offer, but in comparison to Spalding, how was the whole college experience different?
Well, I mean, it was a total culture shock, to be honest with you. You go to a Division II school, and like I said, they had some very successful past seasons, which led to more funding, more opportunities for their campus as well as their baseball team. So first and foremost, they were sponsored by Majestic, which is an MLB branding organization. Not many colleges are even sponsored by them. So first, right there off the bat, the locker room, the jerseys. You show up on your first day and you got 10 shirts and 10 shorts and hats and hoodies and shoes. And, you actually were treated, like you see on TV, like you're a real Division I athlete. But I was at the Division II, level. And that's what made it also another place that I really liked. And they seemed competitive and they treated you like you were the top, even though we weren't. And I think that's why I fell in love with it and why, first and foremost committed there. But when I the field, another reason, the field's way bigger. They have a nice little wall. They have great grass, softer. It actually gets taken care of. They got people that take care of the field, grounds crew. They don't turf their own fields. People cover it up for them. And at a Division III level where I was, unfortunately, we had to do everything. So, if it's a rain delay, it's a 5 a.m. tarp pull. We were the guys out there. It didn't matter if you're a freshman or a senior or a grad, transfer. You were out there doing that. And, You know, the food was totally different. We didn't have, you know, those big Chick-fil-A's, all these restaurants with meal points. We had a cafeteria, and that was it. And if you didn't want to eat there, you had to go, you know, eat at McDonald's on 4th Street in Louisville. And if anybody's around there, you know, you don't want to go there. But yeah, that was mostly the biggest change. Now, actually, in the baseball aspect of it, you know, it's still the same game. I would say the only difference is I saw probably a little bit slower pitching. Instead of the 92 to 90, I was seeing, you know, 85 on a weekday and maybe 88 on a weekend. So it was totally different. And I think that's, you know, what led to a lot of my success there. But that would be the differences for sure.
Yeah, and I think we kind of kept a little bit of contact when you ended up going to Spalding, since it was kind of down the street, and ended up, you know, seeing you every now and then out in Louisville. I'm having a hell of a time. Have you thought about anything like what could have been if you would have had you have stayed at USI being Division II? Did they end up going D1?
Oh no, they're still Division II. You know, they still have gone to the World Series. They haven't won it since I think it was 2014. And obviously we graduated 2016. But you know, it's great records. But yeah, I've obviously thought about that a lot. You know, and I think for my baseball career aspect, I mean, I probably would have taken a lot more if that was what I wanted to pursue, or maybe I had people pursue me. But then, you know, you look at the other aspects of life, and you know, the school that I transferred at, and I was able to reconnect with some people that I was going to high school with, you know, bond some better relationships, and you know, get back to being close with good friends.
Yeah, and so Spalding is, like you said, it was D3, but their schooling itself is also very different than a normal schooling. You know, a lot of the Division ones, or you know, just normal colleges, they're 2 semesters for every year. But Spalding
Yeah.
did it a little different. They did what, trimesters, and you had like 2 classes every 6 weeks or so.
Yep, so you had, and you could only take one. So you by, you know, to be eligible for the season, you could take one each semester. So, you know, you would take 3 classes theoretically from the start in August to Christmas, and then from January to the end of school in May, you could just take 3 more classes and be eligible. Now, you're not going to graduate in 4 years, but you know, it's completely up to you as long as you had 12 credit hours, which, you know, seems absurdly slow to me. But yeah, you could take 2. You weren't allowed. And then if you wanted to take, you know, if you had to take summer classes or you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of like rules to be a full-time student is like 12 hours at U of L as well. So like all like the tax implications that come with that. So that's probably why like 12 hours is like the minimum that you need to get. And then 15 is, I think, full-time while you're being on track to graduate in 4 years. I think if you do 12, you'll probably have to take some in the summer, like you said. Or, you know, you might be a semester behind or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, so you probably only had one real chance at, you know, going for a semester as like a normal college kid, with Spalding kind of doing those classes every 6 weeks changing. Do you think you like that more than taking, you know, 3 or 4 at a time, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday? Or did you like the everyday one class for a couple hours?
Well, so it was actually, you only had classes Monday through Thursday every week, but I honestly liked it better just because, you know, you only had to focus on your 2 classes, and also, you know, and our liberal arts private college. So as you can tell, our classes were probably a lot easier slash differ from, you know, so, you know, it was just a totally different atmosphere, and that is, I like it because it's a lot more easy to, you know, yes, it was easy also in the long run, but yeah.
Yeah, and then so you ended up going, and what was your degree in?
Yeah, so I got my bachelor's in accounting and a business administration. I did a double major, and then I got my master's in just accounting.
And then, did you have any jobs while you were in college, or how's the jobs, you know, post college as well?
Yeah, so during college, honestly, during the season, it was really too hard. Now I was able to do a program called work study, so I was able to help with the volleyball games or women's or men's basketball or soccer games and get paid for them during our seasons as also our fall seasons. The only time we really were allowed to have jobs was during the winter sessions when we were off from November through December. So I seized candies in the St. Matthews Mall for 4 years. All four seasonal positions, ended up becoming a manager my junior and senior year. Great place, paid good, had great employees, couldn't complain. Put my accounting skill to the test there, made sure that we didn't get no tax fraud going on, selling expired candy. And then, after college, I was able to move up to the Northern Kentucky area with my now wife. And out of college, I got a accounting just to be an accountant for a consumer product good company. I stayed there for a year and wanted to change industry as well as, advance my payment and experience. So I n am now at a property accounting place as well. So I'm a construction accountant for basically a luxury condominium and construction building force. And, I'm loving it right now. I'm going in my 6 months here. So not much time here, but I could see myself being here for a long time.
And I know with your previous job, you were working from home, and this job is on site. Do you like going into the office more, or do you wish you were still back at home?
Man, I definitely wish I was back at home working. Just the aspect of comfort and being able to, plan around things, do more on your lunch break, 20 minutes each day, if the calls aren't rolling in. But, I really wanted to go in the first couple of weeks when I started a new position because I wanted, to be a sponge and soak up some new information. And because I am still, a rookie coming into this industry, so I'm trying, I am trying to get a good foundation. So I wanted to be there, but I thought it would also transfer over to being at home, and it doesn't look like it's going to,
Time
anytime soon. So that is
to
definitely a
change.
downfall.
Yeah,
Exactly.
have to redo that resume, get back on Indeed.
Shoe fits, right?
So I know in high school you were played basketball, you did baseball. There was a question wrote in from one of our good friends back in high school, Jacob Caudill. Shout out Jacob Caudill. He was wanting to know, you played, basketball and baseball. How come you never gave football a try?
I've had a lot of people ask me this, but everybody that remembers me in high school, I was the fast one, also maybe a little rambunctious, but I was also the most skinniest kid, probably in our entire school. Even though my attitude didn't reflect my body image, I'm more like a chihuahua, all bark, but no bite. But I really did think of with Coach Vincent one time in his office during the summer. We really set up a conditioning plan to see if I could get it going. It just honestly didn't align with basketball. And it was, to be honest with you, it was actually going into senior year when Gerardy Zell gave it a shot, and I was gonna do it. I was all in, and Blackburn sat me down in his office, and this as well. I was never a basketball starter. Until my senior year, I always came off the bench. I really didn't play much at all until my junior year, actually on the varsity level. But my senior year, I had this conversation with Blackburn going into our year that, you have a real chance at starting. And I think, at that time I was a pretty good defender, so I really loved that aspect instead of trying a sport that I haven't played, since Pee Wee and B team. So. I ended up basically just crushing those dreams and sticking to basketball, and it ended up paying out, I guess.
Yeah, and then kind of with basketball, it was with, I don't know how crazy other high schools were, but I mean, we were there every day, like
Every
summer,
day.
winter, fall, spring, in season, out of season. It was an everyday, all year kind of thing. So you never really got to even have a chance to think about actually pursuing it unless you wanted to, you know, skip 2 months of practice or conditioning or whatever, because we were there all season long.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, you know, certain guys that also I felt like played, you know, a couple that come to mind, you know, Zach Allen, Garrett Ezell, Austin Colvin. I felt like not their basketball skills were hindered, but maybe how they were treated and, you know, how they were portrayed on the court when I thought, you know, they were great basketball players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of another one of those what ifs. I kind of thought about, you know, doing that as well, but also never really found the time to really do anything outside of playing basketball. I also kind of worked through high school as well. So, I mean, kind of juggle two sports. There was absolutely no way, I don't think. It was even feasible, honestly. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's a history we're talking about. So, after high school, got into college, finished your degree, got your job. Obviously, playing days are over. Not really playing a lot of basketball these days, probably not a lot of baseball. What are some of the hobbies and stuff that you picked up outside of kind of like those two things?
Well, really, I played 2 years of, you know, some pretty competitive softball, actually. You know, I gave it my all. I actually loved every minute of it up until, you know, this past year we had, you know, a couple bad calls go and some just bad environments I didn't really like being around, and I just kind of wasn't worth it anymore. And, you know, I kind of tweaked my ankle on a couple plays. Like,
sheesh.
It's just not what I, you know, wanted to do anymore. So I'm actually retiring from the softball world, you know, in for a short time, but I'm out. but the only thing I currently do now is I play in co-ed and also just men's volleyball leagues. I'm in a 4 all men's league and then 6 co-eds with my wife. And we do sand, indoor, and
we get after
about twice a week.
Dang, I didn't know you played volleyball. And then you're also golfing as well, right?
Yeah, I try to golf once a week, if not, you know, definitely once on the weekend with some buddies. And if I can't there, then I actually just play, you know, a country club up here that, you know, I'm now married into their family. So it works out well if I got to play 9 by myself.
Oh, yeah. How's that swing looking?
You know, I can't complain about it as long as I don't lose any more balls.
No slices?
Hey, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you can just find them. Nice open field.
Yeah, I can find them. Yeah, I'm definitely finding them.
And then so you got golf, you're retired from softball, you're playing volleyball, you're also coaching as well, coaching a sport you never played.
That's right. You know, shout out to Caldell Hill. You know, maybe he actually is calling the future. But yeah, so I'm coaching a middle school AAU. This is 9 years old to 14 year olds. They are, you know, like I said, all the way from 6th graders to 8th graders, going into their freshman year. So they know what high school they're going to. They also, you know the fundamentals of football. And I actually got some really good kids. So I'm up here in the Northern Kentucky area, as I said earlier. And for all you listeners out there, you know, Northern Kentucky is a pretty big powerhouse for football. You know, they have Moeller, a team called St. Xavier, Princeton. They have a bunch of academies and private high schools up here, you know, like Trinity and St. X's out of Louisville that they're just 6-0 right now, 5-0 on the actual whole state. They're all ranked higher than Mel and Trinity out of Louisville. And I've never, you know, growing up, ever seen a team beat them or be ranked higher than those two. So, you know, to see that and move up here, it's something totally different and crazy. But yeah, I applied to be, you know, get some coaching jobs up here for any sport. And these guys reached out to me, and it was going to start out as maybe just an assistant position. And it ended up leading to a head coaching position. I'm now 4-0. My quarterback, he obviously leads my team. He's 14-year-old. I mean, he's going to be going to Moeller High School. Like I said, they produce a lot of D1 athletes. You know, Sam Hubbard went there. Joe Burrow. I mean, you can name a lot of people that are in the NFL now, actually, that went there. So That works out well. And then you got running back who he's only 12, but he's playing up. His brother's also on the team. He's a wide receiver. That's beside the point. But he's already playing, you know, better than anybody that went to our high school. And that's not saying much. Our high school wasn't the greatest, but this guy rushed for over 200 yards in my first two games. He just caught 7 passes last game, which is, you know, pretty impressive, I think, for any running back, just to have good hands like that as well, being able fast and being mobile and get through the hole. So it's been a totally new experience for me. You know, I am using some plays off Madden, but I'm also lucky enough that my staff was completely given to me, except for one guy. So, you know, I already had a good fundamental playbook. You know, the guys had already been coaching these kids since they were growing up. They've been an AAU team for their entire, basically their entire lives of playing.
Well, yeah, man, congrats. Sounds like you got a lot of success doing the old Madden plays.
Hey, you can't
and
go
then
wrong.
With that being, and then with that, you know, you also mentioned that you got married this year and then now you bought a house and you're kind of, you know, officially an adult now, I would say.
You know, some would say that, some would also say I'm not. But yeah, I recently got married, as well as a couple other of my buddies that, you know, we got to also catch up at their weddings. Yeah, I got a house up here. Not looking for kids anytime soon. That's not in the plan anytime soon. You know, just trying to get the fundamentals of actually our lives together, you know, get some money saved up, maybe get into a bigger house eventually, get some cars paid off, school loans paid off as well.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess kids would be the next step. I mean, we're all getting at that age where, you know, they might be popping out here soon, whether you want them to or not.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that's a good little catch up with you. I also have one more additional questions from the crowd. This comes from Noah Payne. Shout out to Noah Payne. Do you still have beef with him after kind of having the same middle school girlfriend? That's what he was wanting to know.
You know, deep down in my heart, you know, no, honestly, I can't even remember who it was. You know, I was trying to go with something there. But no, Noah was a great guy. We were good friends, actually. And then we let our, you know, going into puberty, trying to be the men hormonal, get in front of our friendship. And I guess go after a girl that, you know, neither one of us are with today. So, you know, could have ruined a great friendship. But no, we have no beef. I would actually like to catch up with him. Haven't seen him since high school, which is, you know, crazy. That was a crazy name that I saw when you sent that to me. And, but yeah, he was always a good guy and I felt like we were pretty close.
Yeah. I think, he actually lives in like Savannah, Georgia, I think. And then, so he's way out there. Same with like Snodder living in Norway. They're just all over now.
That is crazy.
And kind of with that being said, I think we caught up pretty well with you, with your life post high school. I'm sure a lot of people can use this as a refresher on, you know, kind of like what you've done, like why you chose, you know, this route as opposed to, you know, something else. And then kind of with that finishing up, I know this past week we had NFL week 3 going on. My team, and I think your team as well, did not have a successful Sunday. How are you feeling about your team right now?
You know, I feel the same as I felt when the season started, you know, when Jameis is your, and you know, for all you guys who, you know, don't know, I'm a huge Saints fan, you know, New Orleans Saints. We've had a lot of successful years in the past, but our success is slowly dwindling on the hands of one man, Jameis Winston. So, yeah, going into the season, you know, we could possibly win a down division, as a lot of people would say, with Gronkowski leaving finally. Baker's, he's a joke. And then the Falcons always, they're down as always. So, going with those, I really thought we had a chance, and I thought we, you know, maybe pull a
crazy, maybe in the top two.
But yeah, it's just been a disappointing season so far. I'm actually on the Andy Dalton bus right now. Put him in
because
we can't even – hey, you know, it's a hot take. I'll say that, but we can't even get Kamara the ball. We can't – you know, Michael Thomas is having some good fantasy success right now, but he's having four catches a game for 50 yards and a touchdown. Like, that's not going to win us the games that we need in the end, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I think this has always been Jameis since he first came into the league. He'll throw for a lot of yards. He'll get you touchdowns, but he'll also turn it over. And, you know, inevitably you'll lose games because of him.
Yeah, exactly. He can win you a game going for breaking a record, but he can also break
interceptions. It's one of the craziest stats. I think if you look
at – he's thrown more interceptions in his entire career than touchdowns, but he's also – pretty sure he's top three in Florida State passing yards ever.
Yeah, and I mean, he's always up there in passing yards in the NFL, too. Sure, there's a lot of the passing yards that go backwards as well for pick sixes, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, with my team themselves, I mean, they had, you know, Super Bowl aspirations. Definitely will have a crazy offseason. And then first game, we were looking pretty good against the Raiders. Raiders had a good offseason as well. And, I mean, it's just been to hell in a hay basket since that game. I mean, they had an upsetted loss against the Chiefs where they went into Arrowhead. We're kind of in control for most of the game, but Chiefs kind of hang around. And Herbert threw a pick six when he didn't need to, kind of forced a play when they were doing hurry up when they should have just – you know, waited for everyone to get down there at the 1 yard line. That was a pick six, ended up losing. I think mainly because of that play when we were about to score and then they end up scoring. So that's like a 14 point swing. And then with this past week, I mean, they lose in a absolute blowout start to finish to the Jaguars, who no one has really said, you know, that team would be favored to win the division or anything, but they're definitely coming up strong and, you know, people might be sleeping on the team. But even with that, I mean, you think that you should win that game no matter what. And then in that loss, Joey Bosa goes down with a groin injury. He may miss a couple weeks. Rashawn Slater, Pro Bowl left tackle, is going to be out the rest of the year with a torn bicep. Herbert is still battling through his rib injury. Keenan Allen missed, you know, now two games and was out most of the first game. Just got news that Jalen Guyton, our kind of wide out that goes long, tore his ACL Sunday too. I don't even remember seeing him walk off. But Corey Linsley, our starting Pro Bowl center, is out. I mean, we are just getting hit with the injury bug all over. JC Jackson is still out nursing his ankle. Pro Bowl corner. So, I mean, it's really, I could see this team 2 weeks ago had being hyped about them to go to the Super Bowl. And now, 2 weeks later, I don't even think this team makes the playoffs.
Wow.
Hey, someone had to say it.
I was thinking it, but you said it.
I mean, the Chiefs are always going to be, you know, good. I don't know how they do it no matter what. Even with, you know, kind of weapons being gone, they just know how to scheme people open. They know how to have an offense that never really seems to stall. I think that might be something that the Chargers have to look into for next season. I don't think Joe Lombardi's the guy. He was used to, you know, coaching Drew Brees and running that offense and had success. But Drew Brees was always kind of a check down, throw the slants, throw it to the running back. And then that's what he's trying to do with Justin Herbert, who has, you know, a 70-yard cannon that he can drop whenever. And he's throwing maybe one 40-yard pass a game, and that's it. And then for a team that can't run the ball to save their lives, if you're going to throw the ball, you need to at least throw it deep to open up the underneath stuff. But if you're throwing all underneath stuff, it's going to be not a recipe for success. So kind of disappointed with how the last 2 weeks have gone. I mean, very well could be 2-1 had that Chiefs game went different. But the Jaguars absolutely murdered us. And then we have I think the Texans next week, who was kind of like our stinker last season, where we needed a win. We saw the Texans, who were like 3-12, went in there and then got absolutely smoked when we were trying to make a playoff run. So we're good for like one or two stinkers a year. We got our stinker out early. Hopefully they come back and maybe some guys get healthy and, you know, we'll see what happens. But it is not looking good for the Chargers fan base over here. And then kind of with that being said, you know, both of our teams are kind of not looking good. Do you have any additional hot takes on the rest of the season? Who's good? Who's not good? I know Philly and Miami are both 3-0. The Giants might be 3-0 after tonight. Who knows? Monday Night Football. But who are some favorites for you to go to the Super Bowl, and who do you think absolutely stinks other than the Chargers and Saints?
Well, you know, I'll give you two nice hot takes, and then I'll answer that beautiful question there. So my first hot take, and I guess it also answers a little bit of your question, the Cardinals. I think they're down bad, and I think the hot take, you know, of the year is I think they missed the playoffs. And it's such a hot take because of the massive contract that they're spending on Kyler. You know, and I wouldn't say it's completely on his shoulders. You know, they have great playmakers and good skill assets. It's just, you know, maybe they really are missing Hopkins that bad that – you know, he really can't get the ball out to anybody else. I know he's running around out there a lot. His line's not giving him much time, but I honestly do believe they do not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I never really bought into them. Even last season, I mean, last season they started like 11-0 and then lost the next seven games. Kind of similar with the Steelers a couple seasons ago. But yeah, they stink. I think Colts stink now with Matt Ryan as, you know, kind of their quarterback. I'm kind of worried about the Buccaneers. I think they probably win that division, but they are going to crawl their way to a playoffs and most likely lose in the first round. 49ers are not good with Jimmy G. Rams probably win that division probably pretty easily again. I mean, AFC South is up for grabs. I mean, that might be a Jaguars, you know, win the division, which kind of comes to a surprise with, you know, the likes of the Titans and the Colts. But, I mean, both of those teams don't look very strong. I'm really rooting for the Vikings to have success, but you know, who kind of knows what's going to go there. They always seem to have a complete team, both offensively with passing weapons and Dalvin Cook as a running back, and then they always have a strong defense but never seem to put it together. I'm thinking with maybe how, you know, bad the Bears are and how maybe Green Bay kind of falls off because Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any weapons, and then who knows what the Lions will do. The Lions will be sneaky, I think. Like, you don't want to play them. They have to be respected. But I don't know if they know how to close out games yet. So that should be Minnesota's division to win. AFC North, I mean, I think the Ravens kind of run away with that division. But I'm still not really sold on how they will do in the playoffs. I think when you have one player on a football team that is your whole team, essentially, it kind of gets easy to game plan. I mean, that was the case a couple of years ago when the Chargers played the Ravens in the playoffs and kind of smoked Lamar into throwing a bunch of interceptions and fumbles. And if, you know, a team led by Anthony Lynn can come in and beat your star player, then that's not very good. So who knows what happens there? I think maybe, you know, Super Bowl bound teams. I kind of said this last week, but I mean, kind of like the Bills, even though they lost to Miami, Eagles look good, Chiefs will be up there, like the Vikings to be up there. Some sneaky teams, Dolphins could be sneaky. I thought last week the Commanders could be a sneaky team, kind of like the Lions, but they had a dud this past week, so who knows what happens there. But some other bad teams that I think stink. So we kind of went over Bears, Saints, Chargers now stink, even though last week I said they were good. But I think the Broncos, too, they stink.
Man, they honestly, their offense just cannot get in the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like been Russell. I've never really liked Russell Wilson as like a top five guy in the NFL. I think he's top 12, but I mean, he's definitely not, you know, pay this guy the max money. But he somehow, you know, got the contract, and I think that contract might be similar to Carson Wentz, and to where it may last a year, maybe 2 years in Denver before they're like, all right, this is not the guy. We got to get rid of him. He's so corny. I don't know if anyone really likes him. Kind of like, I don't know if people like Carson Wentz or not, but I mean, like how Russ is on social media and how he is like as a leader, he's just like so corny. And like, I feel like it's hard to like really rally behind a guy like that.
Well, yeah, that, and you know, looking at his overall stats, man, he honestly hasn't really been successful in clutch moments. And I'm not just talking about the interception in the Super Bowl. You know, he's rarely, and I mean rarely, made it out, you know, the first round, if not the second round of the playoffs. As well as, you know, a hot take here is, and the reason I think he's having such a bad year is because the playmakers are nothing compared to Metcalf and Lockett. And that's even crazy to say because, you know, people are all on Courtland Sutton, which he is a great player, and say it was Jerry Jeudy. But when now you compare the exact same quarterback with the exact two teams and you're looking at his comparisons, I mean, it's night and day. You have, you know, a 6'8 monster who's catching 2 and 3 touchdowns a game, and then you got a guy that every single game would catch one pass over 75 yards. And now Russell Wilson's barely throwing for 75 yards a half. You know, it's completely night and day. I don't think it has anything to do with the line because, you know, I watched the game last night and I thought he had plenty of time throwing the ball. I mean, Williams and Melvin had no problems running the ball for, you know, 7-8 yards every carry. I think Javonte actually finished with like 4.6 yards per carry, which is very, very good for an NFL game that they only scored, what, 12 points?
I think it was like a 10 to 11 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, they had, you know, two of their points came from a safety from Garoppolo, so they could have, you know, lost that game scoring like 9 points.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I bet the 49ers fan base is getting hit hard because, you know, everybody was on the Trey Lance. Well, let's just go back to last year. You know, they had an okay year, you know, with Garoppolo. He did what he had to do. Like, he did his job. He led them to the Super Bowl. And then, you know, last year did what he did. And then now everybody is off Jimmy G. Get rid of him. It's Trey Lance's show. He shows up the first couple games, you know, throws a dud here. Then he gets hurt. Out for the year. Jimmy comes in, wins the game for him. Now everybody's back on the high. It's Jimmy G's team. We're about to play the bad Broncos. And he goes out there and not only breaks that record for, you know, a quarterback getting a safety since the 1900s, I think is what I saw today on Twitter. But he lost to the Broncos, you know, in a crucial game. Sunday night game. The entire fan is behind you. You need to win this game. And you lose an ugly, ugly football game.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's kind of like been – I feel like with the 49ers, when they played on primetime with Jimmy G, it's always like a 10-9, a 13-10 kind of game. He never really put up a lot of points. But I think that also kind of goes with, I think in this past offseason, they didn't really show him the playbook and what they were wanting to run because they were trying to trade him. And then ended up just signing him to, you know, an extension to be the backup. And then now he's thrown into, you know, starting and doesn't really know a lot of the plays. He's probably having to go off last year's stuff, even though they may have changed some things. So, I mean, winning that first game was probably kind of, you know, set the bar high, even though it was kind of luck, you know, most likely. And then this was kind of like a real wake up to all those weeks of not studying, you know, the plays because you were trying to trade them and not, you know, give other teams information on you all. Is going to come back and bite you. But, you know, who knows? That's why they play the games. We'll have, you know, an 0-3 team can be, you know, a 3-0 team next week. That's just how the NFL is. You never really know what's going to happen with injuries, with who's going to have a dud. You know, that's why they play the games, because anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. Ain't that right?
That's right.
And then, speaking of anybody beating anybody, the Braves will be playing your Mets in a crucial three-game series at the end of this week. How are you feeling? I know that you have a 1.5-game lead on the division. Kind of winner probably has a good chance to make it to the NLCS to play the Dodgers, more than likely. So are you a little nervous? So you got a couple games in between here and there, but we're coming. We're right on your tail.
Well, you know, I'll tell you in the most respectfully way possible. I think the Braves do, in fact, have a 0% chance to take the lead, and this is why. You know, just put the simple facts on paper. Like you said, they're a game and a half behind, and we have 8 games left. Now the Braves have 9, because you know they have a makeup, and the Mets have played one more than them. But you know, when you look down at it. The Mets played 2 against the Marlins, 3 against the Braves, 3 against the Nationals. Well, it's funny that I say that because the Braves have 3 against the Marlins, 3 against the Mets, you know, 3 against the Nationals. Like every we have the exact same schedule. So, and now, you know, you're a game and a half behind. So let's go ahead and just wipe out the National Series. You know, for both teams, you know, because it doesn't matter what happens. You win all three, we lose all three. You know, those games don't matter. So now you bring it down to 5 games that you have to better us then, and that comes down to Marlins. And I think we both sweep the Marlins. So, like you said, it's going to come down to the series. And to be honest with you, I like the Mets' chances, even though the first series, obviously. And first couple series have not gone our way, but this is why right here. The Braves will have to play the Mets, you know, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all three at Atlanta. So you're already going to have the entire fan there. There's going to be, you know, everybody knows what's on the line. Like if you lose these games, you're playing the Dodgers first round and your season's more likely over, you know, unless something crazy happens. Now, they're going to have a lot more pressure, not just because of the games, but like I said, you're playing at home, a beautiful brand new stadium, fits so many people, and the Braves have a great fan section, and fan base. So I know it's going to be loud. I know it's going to be rocking, and when that happens, it just calls for a lot of nerves, and a lot of guys get unsettled. One being Jansen, and that's the key guy. I think that this entire thing is going to fall down to, because we already know the three starters for each team are going to be unbelievable. We already know both offenses are either going to be unbelievable or they're going to get shut out by the amazing pitching. Like we know this, but the games are going to come down to the closers. And yes, Jansen right now is atop a Walker, you know, on strikeouts as well as record ERA. I'm not Walker, Diaz, sorry. Literally in every category, but he also is beating him in blown saves. So, like I said, with that aspect, I think Jansen ends up giving up game one or game two, and then the nerves are really going to eat in. And I think the Mets win 2 of the 3, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, we could say that you may go all in on this series, but I mean, even if you were to take all 3 games, even if you know you kind of have to worry about those games against the other teams, the Marlins and the Nationals, because those aren't gimmies. I mean, I think the last time when you were up, because you did have a 10, 11 game lead on us, and then we end up coming back, you end up losing to these, you know, teams that you probably should win. And we, you know, kind of go on tears every now and then. But, you know, they may try and play you all harder than they play us, because I think we're just a more likable franchise. So they may give us the wins, and they try and hammer up on you to help us out. What do you think about that?
I definitely agree with that. You know, especially because the Mets and Marlins, you know, they're in the same division, so they're not. Who cares if they're not in the playoffs? The Marlins never want to get beat by the Mets, you know, and vice versa. So, with any team, you never want to lose, especially when you're playing them multiple times throughout the year. You're in the exact same division, so it just means more to you. You know, it's more of a rival than, you know, playing somebody else that you only play 3 or 6 games against a year. And actually, you know, when you said that, I ended up looking it up, and I feel okay with the Marlins. We got Carrasco starting and Walker. Now, Walker is known to have a game or two that he'll blow. But he's already had, you know, 2 this month. So I'm thinking no way he has a third, right?
I know they come in threes.
They do come in threes. You're right there. And like you said, it could hurt us that we are throwing our 3 aces against the Braves. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. You have to throw Scherzer, you have to throw DeGrom, and you have to throw Bassett. You know, against the Braves, because the Braves aren't going to hold back. They're going to throw free first game. They're throwing right second game. And third game against Scherzer, they're throwing Morton. So they know what's on the line. You got to save your best for that. But I think offensively, that's what's going to be the key for these next couple of days leading up to the series, you know, for the Braves against the Nationals as well as the Mets for the Marlins, is you can't get – beside yourself thinking about that series against that big division rival. Like, you have to take care of these little teams. And offensively, that's where it is. I think the pitching will be there for both teams, but you can't just score 2 runs on a 2-run bomb from one of your guys. You got to put up 5 runs and put these teams away in midweeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, with all things considered, if you all sweep everybody but the Braves and we sweep everybody but the Mets, all we got to do is just win 2 of the 3, and then we're, you know, on top. So, I mean, there's a good chance that – I know you said 0% chance, but I wouldn't put it past you. I mean, I definitely wouldn't go to Vegas with those odds. But time will tell. We'll have to reconnect in the postseason and see what really happens.
For sure. Definitely have to get back together when the playoff picture is announced, and hopefully, you know, Barrett be my team or your team play the Dodgers first round. I would definitely be rooting for either or. And I hope to see us both in the second round playing each other. That would be insane. And it hasn't happened, you know, and since the Dodgers have kind of taken over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, may have to go to a game in Atlanta or something.
Hey, don't tempt me there.
Well, all right, man. Thanks for coming on. This was a hell of a time. We definitely got to catch up a lot about, you know, what you did after high school, all your endeavors. Got to throw some hot takes out there and got to talk a little smack as well. So I appreciate you coming on, man, and hope to hear from you again soon, okay?
Yep, thanks. I appreciate it. I look forward to listening the next few weeks. Big fan here and love what you're doing, man.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, man.
See ya.
See you. Hello. You ready? You didn't write any notes down, did you? Hold on. I gotta make sure my quote's pulled up. Who's it going to be from? You really want me to spoil it? Give me a hint. Is it relevant?
Do with the football games this past yesterday.
Did Dan Orlovsky?
No. What was his quote about? Somebody going out the back of the end zone?
Yeah.
I got it pulled up.
All right, Brick. Diving right into segment number three, we finish each episode the same way. We got our random question, we got some recommendations, we got some tweets for the people, and we finish each episode with Tyler's quote of the week. But first things first, let's get through our random question. And this week's random question is, what's a movie you'll never get tired of? T-Brock, take it away.
I know I've talked about this movie before on the pod, but Inception, you know, every time I watch it, I don't get tired of it. You know, there's some suspense parts, there's some stuff like that, but it's like they don't hit the same way, but it's like they hit different in a good way. Like, you know, you're getting something new out of it. You know, you're seeing it coming from a different direction, that sort of thing. So I could watch that one. I don't know how many times I've seen it, but like if you're asking me right now if I would watch it, the answer, if you're asking me if I want to watch it next week, the answer is yes. So
solid movie. Yeah. It's a really good one. Those movies that seem to be like, I don't know, like critically acclaimed, like very, very good top tier movies, I don't know if those have a lot of like rewatchable value though. I may contest.
I mean, not all of them. I feel like that's where Inception is different sometimes. Is I don't know. There's a couple that are like that where it's like you wouldn't expect them to be good rewatch movies, but I think they are.
Mm-hmm. It's like a really good book. You read it once and you don't really need to read it again, but you can still love it and say it's, you know, one of the best.
Yeah. Like, I don't like to rewatch TV shows a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I guess that's not true anymore. I used to, you know, not like to rewatch things. Like, I hated reruns and stuff like that. But now I guess I'm just multitasking more. I'm scrolling on my phone at the same time, so it doesn't matter.
It's more kind of casual watching.
Casual watching, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What movie is it that you don't get tired of?
So you kind of went the more kind of best movie overall route. I'm going with probably one of the easier watches. You could go with like almost any early Adam Sandler movie.
I see.
But I didn't go that route. You could also go with one of Will Ferrell's movies, maybe like a Talladega Nights or, you know, a Step Brothers, some fun, watchable, rewatchable movies like that. And that's kind of the route I went. Wasn't with any of those two actors, but with a trio of fantastic actors that just kind of all came together to be create this powerhouse of a movie that is so rewatchable, so requotable. And these three characters are forever tied to each other. And if you don't know what I'm talking about Superbad. Mm. Jonah Hill, all of them. I mean, fantastic movie. I rewatched This Is the End over the weekend, and their like little cameo in the movie was great. And, you know, just got me thinking about, you know, Superbad and how great of a movie that is. but that's what I'm going with. Have you seen it? Have you heard about Superbad?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a classic. It's a classic.
Easy to watch, easy to, you know, throw on no matter what's going on.
You get laughs every time, you know?
You throw that on no matter who's around you, they're going to have a good time watching it. But yeah, that's what I got.
Did you have any movies that you watched just like over and over as a kid? Like, oh, I know that there were some that, like over at my grandparents' house, they had a couple, like, I don't know, not that many movies to choose from in the selection. Like, I'm talking like four or five. So it's like every time, you know, we were over there, it was rainy, whatever, couldn't go play outside or anything. We were wanting to watch a movie. It was the same selection of the same movies. And I know, like George of the Jungle, watched that one probably 50 times.
Yeah.
You have any movies like that?
Yeah, when I would go to my dad's all the time on the weekends, I had a TV in my room that had a VHS player and a DVD player in the TV. So that was like high quality stuff back then.
Cutting edge.
And I had a couple, because my fandom runs deep, I had just like NASCAR highlight videos that I would watch before bed over and over again. And then Happy Gilmore, I probably watched 100 times, all the way through. Had Mr. Deeds on DVD. Happy Gilmore was on VHS. I had Space Jam. Friday Night Lights, the movie, I watched a bunch. A lot of stuff like that. Billy Madison. A lot of the early Adam Sandler movies, I had like almost every single one.
Man, I feel like the ones I had were way more obscure, like Mighty Joe Young.
What's that, a dog movie? Air Bud? You
probably No. I think Garfield, though. I probably watched Garfield so many times.
Yeah. I think maybe our parents had maybe two different teaching styles.
Well, I mean, this was over at my grandparents' house, I was thinking about. Yeah. They would just, like, you know, they got the newspaper every day, and that's where they would check the TV guide. And they would see a movie and they'd be like, oh, I bet this is a good movie to record for the kids. And they'd pop in the VHS player and record, you know, some movie. So that was just the way it was done back in the day.
And then with that, we'll slide right into our recommendations. I'll go ahead and take the leap first. Now, me and you have gone to a couple of these. I've gone to a couple with some other people as well. The environment themselves might be some of the best in the city. I'm talking about going to a Lou City game here in Louisville. If you haven't been to the new stadium, it is a sight to see. The atmosphere is, like I said, some of the best in the city. It's up there with going to a Louisville Cardinal game in the Yum Center or at Papa John's. It's probably even more enthusiastic from a fan perspective because they have a whole side of the stadium that's dedicated to just fans screaming chants the whole game. Overall, brand new stadium, nice facility. They have, you know, drinks and stuff up all and down the stadium, have a nice view. General admission tickets are cool because they got tables set up on the waterfront side, and then you could sit on the other side that has like kind of like standing bleachers. And then obviously they have seats as well that you can sit in. But overall, I mean, I'm still not really a soccer fan, but I love rooting for Lou City and going to the games and following their Twitter page to see how the team's doing. Know a couple of the players. Big Brian Ombi fan over here. Love the beard. and rooting for success within that organization. Really hoping to make another deep playoff run and bring another championship home.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback on that one and say, if you're looking at going, just get, you know, the cheapest seat to get in the door. You don't even have to go to a seat during the game. You know, you can walk around. There's good sight lines all around. There's lots of bars, high top tables, you know, that you can stand at and get a good view, especially, you know, when it's not too crowded. So if you're wanting to try it out, not sure how much you're wanting to invest to see if you would enjoy it, just get you a cheap seat and just go explore the stadium.
For sure. Yeah. And what you got?
My recommendation, very topical today. I'm talking about a portable car-powered tire pump. You know, I don't know many people with one, but the one I have, we use it all the time. Emily's tire pressure sensors are very sensitive. So even if she doesn't have flats and things like that, like, they'll go off all the time. And it's easy to just pump up all the tires, make sure it's all good. Don't have to, you know, check and see what's wrong all the time. It's just takes a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Takes not a lot of effort, and you can just keep it in the car. So if you don't have one and you find yourself going to the gas station trying to pump up the tires a lot, check them out. They're not too expensive.
Yeah, I remember you pulled one out when we were living together, and I was like, this man's living in the year 3000. Why is this not in, you know, every car?
They should be, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very very useful.
Yeah, every car has a spare tire, a jack, and a wrench. They need to include like spark plugs, or jumper cables, and that tire blow upper. Tire blow upper
pump.
And with that being said, we jump into our tweets of the week. Now, T-Brock, what do you got for me today?
So if you'll remember, a couple weeks ago, whenever, made its rounds on the news a little bit. Lamar, in his like post-practice press conference, he showed up with a bag of popcorn and a shake, and you know, he was kind of tired of all the questions about his contract still. He had set the deadline, they had passed the deadline. He's like, I don't want to talk about that anymore. So he brought some popcorn, and he was telling the reporters, he was like, good questions, I'll give out some popcorn, that sort of thing. Well, somebody took the image and photoshopped him so that he was like looking fat in it. And, you know, he's got this bag of popcorn, and, you know, they made him look, you know, real chunky. And then someone took that one and photoshopped it to make him look even more fat, and said that the legend will grow larger with every victory. So I'm hoping that the Ravens keep winning and the people keep photoshopping to make Lamar look real nice and big by the end of the season.
Yeah, the price today ain't the price tomorrow.
The price of the brick is going up.
Yeah, he's going to set the market again, I think. They're probably going to have to give him percentage of ownership in the Ravens now.
Well, I mean, I've seen some stuff where it's like maybe they can't do the fully guaranteed thing because the owners don't have the money for it. Apparently, like, when you fully guarantee a contract, or like whenever you do a guaranteed contract, like, that money that's guaranteed, you have to put into like a different like escrow account type thing so that it's like guaranteed to be there.
Mm-hmm. And so maybe some owners aren't as liquid.
Yeah. I mean,
that's asking for a lot.
Think about it. The owners probably, I mean, they're all like super wealthy, right? But the price and the value of the franchise has just like skyrocketed it like in the last however many years because of all the TV money. And I don't know if like the owner's wealth has gone up as fast, like liquid wise. I mean, not that I'm saying like, oh, poor billionaires, but like, it may just be something where, you know, it'd be hard for owners to start guaranteeing all of the contracts. And maybe, you know, some team out there can do it. Some owner can do it. And that'll help get you some free agents or something. I don't know.
Only time will tell, huh?
Yeah. So what did you see around Twitter this week?
Yeah, so I had another meme. You know, this past week was big for Adam Levine. His some DMs were getting leaked. He was hooking up with some Instagram model, potentially. One to name his new son, I guess, with his current wife, the name of the person he's having an affair with, which kind of seems bonkers because the name is kind of half stupid to begin with, Sumner. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. The DMs themselves were, there was a meme going around where the whole template is people plugging in random pictures. And then it has Adam Levine commenting, "It is truly unreal how fucking hot you are. Like, it blows my mind." That's a classic template. But the one that I seen was just a little snippet of those two messages. And then the caption on the tweet says, "Goldilocks trying her first bowl of porridge." And it's that message saying, "It's truly unreal how fucking hot you are." So that's kind of a throwback to Goldilocks and the Three Bears or whatever. Or whatever that story is with the porridge. It's too hot, it's too cold, and the third one's just right. I thought it was funny.
I like that.
Very clever.
And I like all the drama. You know, we get to see here on the podcast. We're fine with the drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we got our paper towels to clean it up. I was hoping to get some type of reaction out of you.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not giving me any favors. I guess this is what it's like to bomb on stage as a comedian.
Must be.
Whatever. We end each episode the same way. We got Tyler's quote of the week. Tyler, how are you going to leave us off this week?
Well, I know we all saw the what they're calling the butt punt, the Dolphins. But hopefully you saw Tyreek Hill being interviewed in the locker room afterwards. He said, "I've never seen a butt punt, but next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he's got strong butt cheeks." As only Tyreek Hill could say.
No, he really said that. He also said something about Eli Apple too.
Yeah.
He was just going
same,
off.
It was the same time. He was feeling good, I guess.
Yeah, he had those sunglasses on, those pit vipers. He was feeling good.